Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's just for everybody for this Sunday. That way you guys, you know, still feel like you're still at home. First thing I want to do is I just want to thank Pastor Roy for giving me the opportunity to just do one lesson. And fortunately for me, it gave me a glimpse, just a small glimpse, into seeing what he has to go through when he does 3 to 4 hours every single week. So thank you, Pastor Roy, for, you know, making this possible for me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16a says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." This is why we come to church. So that in the tough times, it's God's word that dwells within us. So in preparation for the study of the Word of God, it's time for self-evaluation. You can ask yourself, what thought pattern am I allowing to influence my life? As you go about your everyday life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, at any moment in time, you can choose to tune your soul into the influence of KCOS, operating with the world system of thought, or you can choose to tune your soul to the influence of WGOD, operating with the divine system of thought. Bible study is a time to lay aside the spiritual battle of everyday life, the internal fight between two kingdoms for control of your soul. It's a time to allow the infiltration of your soul and spirit with the mind of Christ, the Word of God, so that you can have a chance when you return to the world to operate with the same attitude that was also in Christ Jesus. The Word of God refers to Bible study as a time of renewing. And as you let the God, the Holy Spirit, fill up your deficiency of thought, leading you into the truths of the Word of God, as he unveils the plan of God, the Father, for your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Now is the time to let your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, prepare you in humility to receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So as God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's hear Jeremy Camp worship our Lord in song while you concentrate on your Lord and Savior. The opening song is "Nothing Else I Need."
When I think of all I've seen, nothing compares to what you give. And to drink of what you bring, you quench the thirst for me to live. I am satisfied by what tenderness you've shown. Nothing else I need anymore.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Please help us to distinguish your Word from Satan's distractions as we go about our daily lives. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit and in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Deacon Caleb Alburn, and you're listening to Lesson 435. And my little doohickey is not working. Oh, well. You listen to Lesson 435 of the Creator versus Creature Conflict series. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's study, the Creator's will, is that you change the station. Yeah, go ahead and fix that for me. We continue our study of the Creator versus Creature Conflict. And we are studying our Creator. We are learning about God's person and His work so that you can have a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with Him. It's pretty tough to love someone that you don't know very well. So we're getting to know our God. We use an encoding device called the Creator Clock to introduce ourselves to the various aspects of God's character and nature. And our clicker doesn't work, so I'll just keep going.
Can you do it by hand?
It's a little tough. Maybe not.
So just exit out of the program and come back in.
Oh, beautiful. I get to experience just a little bit of what Pastor Ori gets to go through. And yes, we still want everyone to always use technology. Beautiful. Thank you. Well, now I get to go to my favorite part. TikTok, what time is it on the Creator clock? It's 7 o'clock. And yes, unfortunately, this whole little doohickey got ruined. I did all of that just to lead me to this. That was supposed to be my punchline, so that got completely ruined. It's supposed to be TikTok, what time is it on the Creator clock? It's 7 o'clock. God is willing. And we're studying God's will. It's God's will that you know about Satan's schemes. And one of Satan's schemes that he uses so well is to suck your time away from you. Yes, that can only mean one thing. Satan is indeed a time vampire. That is awesome. Just in case you guys can. That's all for all the Twilight fans. I want to appease to a wider audience. So Satan is a time vampire. It's true. He sucks your time away from you all day, every day. He does this through distractions. He has done such a fantastic job of getting us to buy into the lie that we don't have enough time. And every time we find ourselves saying this, we've purchased that lie, right? And that's probably me. That's me to 10 out of 10. Every single day, I find myself saying, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. And yet, somehow, everything gets done before I go to bed at night. So I spend way too much money on that lie. Satan knows that we have 24 hours in a day, right? He's kind of a smart guy. So he does anything and everything that he can to split up that time and disperse it so that way there's no more time for God. That's the excuse we use. Satan, he uses eating. He uses sleeping, working, family, friends, fun, vacations. He uses Facebook, cell phones, games. He uses sports and television and chores and movies to distract us. I can keep going, but I think we have the point. Satan will use any distraction he can. And he does it quite well. But the cool thing is, about God, though, is that he kind of knew this would happen, See, there's something cool about God called omniscience. And he actually teaches us how to combat this in the Bible. In Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. We also hear in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, often enough, we hear this all the time. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Or in other words, in all things, we are to focus on Christ. Let God manage your time, not Satan. That's my challenge to everyone here. That's my challenge really to myself too. We can wake up earlier so that we can study in the mornings before work. We can listen in our cars on the way to work. We can study on our breaks. We can actually listen in our cars again on the way home from work. We can even study when we get home and we're all home as a family together. This is what is meant when we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. Or as the Greek of the New Testament says, make it a habit to pray. Pray habitually. Make God number one in all things. Let's make God our focus when we're making decisions in our lives. We donate so much of the time that we're blessed with by God over to Satan. And just a side note, Pastor Rory, he introduced me to a great, great short video on time management. So just type in big rocks. You can go to YouTube, Google, just type it in and listen to it. It'll take 5 minutes of your life away, but well worth it. It is well worth it. See, a couple people who get the time little joke. If anyone didn't laugh there, well, that's still probably my fault, oh well. But just go ahead, get on there, and watch the video. It gives you it puts in perspective the way that we treat time in our everyday lives. Another one of Satan's schemes that he uses is temptation. Satan uses legitimate offers for his benefit, not yours, not ours. Satan gives us sexy offers. There's no reason to beat around the bush about it. If they weren't sexy, we wouldn't even be here today. We wouldn't even go to church. Satan's only power is to tempt us and deceive us. So you got to use sex to do it. Sex sells. Please listen to this. He promises us third place for quitting competitions. That's a pretty attractive offer. We get a prize, and we don't have to do anything. There's no cost to us at all. Let's watch Satan in action. So we're going to use my life as an example as usual. No, I'm just kidding. But a couple of you guys were waiting for a story. I know you were. I don't want to use any of my stories anymore for a while. So we're actually going to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Or you guys can type it up digitally. Just get there some way, somehow. If you happen to be old school with the Bible, it's not hard to find. It's the first book of the New Testament. So, just guess at this point. Getting there shouldn't be too hard. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And the tempter came and said to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are the Son of God, and you are, command that these stones become bread. I'm telling you, right there, I would have failed the God test, right? Jesus is hungry. I mean, I would have failed it bad. I would have popped out a bakery. I would have got a Quiznos, a Subway. I would have had both of them. Who cares? I would have even shared some with Satan. I'm not rude. But Jesus kept his cool. He didn't give in. So Satan tempted him again. If we go down further into Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Then the devil took him, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the holy city, Jerusalem, and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And Satan said to him, if, first class condition, if, you are the Son of God, and you are, throw yourself down, for it is written, he, God the Father, will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And again, Jesus didn't budge. But you've got to applaud Satan's perseverance here. I think he was listening to my lesson the other week about never giving up. So, he went for it again in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. So just scroll down just a little bit more. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Again, the devil took him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Do you guys see what I mean? Satan will give you third place. But you've got to give up first place. See, he doesn't always tell you that part. Satan offered Jesus the world. But Jesus was focused on eternity. Jesus was focused on first place. But the world is, and this is a sexy offer. Satan does the exact same thing to us every day, whether it's small or big. Satan's offering us these things all the time. He's offering us third place in every suck out we can. One of the things he does, he says, hey, have sex before you're married. Try before you buy. Sorry, I always like that one. It's funny. Move in together so that way you can test to see if it's on, to see if it's even going to work out. Right? I mean, you might as well date, move in. If it works out, awesome, get married. If not, good thing you didn't get married, right? So there you go. That's Satan's third place promise for us. But what he doesn't tell us is that couples who have premarital sex have a higher divorce rate, as do couples who move in together before marriage. They kind of go, you know, hand in hand. Not to mention that virtually every single financial statistic for children is worse for kids who are born out of wedlock. They have higher dropout rates, and on average, they make less money as a result. Right? Once again, those kind of go hand in hand also. That's something to think about. Do you want God's first place promise, or do you want Satan's third place temptation? Just remember that in every single situation in our lives, God has something better planned for you. And that brings us to point three. Satan is a liar. So just in case you guys didn't get that, point one, Satan is a time vampire. Point two, Satan uses legitimate offers for his benefit, not yours. And point three, Satan is a liar. Satan continuously lies to us, as we read in John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. I mean, that sums it up right there. That's Satan's resume right there. That's what he would talk about himself if he had a Facebook account. We get a good example of this also, again, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Wow. See, that's beautiful. Satan might actually even like this lesson a little bit because I'm giving him some credit. That's sexy right there. That's, well, fine, I'll give you the childhood story. That was me to a T as a kid. My motto is, I don't lie, but I would stretch anything out that I could. And that's Satan right here. You can hear him now when he's talking to Eve. What? I didn't lie, did I? Well, I may have not told the whole truth. I may have left out some of the little consequences, but I didn't lie, right? I mean, that's a lie too. I mean, that's all Satan does. It's these beautiful deceptions that we fall for all of the time. Every day we fall for these things multiple times. This is what Satan does. He deceives all of us. Like we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9a. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. One of Satan's best weapons of deception is the media. People believe every single thing they hear on the news or they read on Facebook. This is bad. A little side note. Working where I work, I cannot tell you how many times somebody came in because they're watching daytime news, and so that afternoon they needed to come in and close all of their accounts with us because we're going out of business. Well, my company is not going out of business. There is legislation that won't even allow my company to go out of business. Literally, the federal government has to go out of business before my business can. But people don't think for themselves anymore. And yet we wonder, well, how can people fall victim to religion? It's because people don't ask questions. And the few people left in this world who are asking questions, most of them aren't even searching for the answers anymore. But God tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, if you ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. So when you encounter these situations in your life, ask these questions. Search the answers. Knock on every single door you have to. Just remember, you want to check out the source and the motivation of the information that you are receiving. Let's take a 5-minute break.
Mountain Maker, Ocean Tamer, glimpses of you burn in my eyes. The worship of heaven fills up the skies. You made it all, said let there be. The sound of your voice. shapes of your head. You do all things well.
Welcome back. On to point four. Just joking. I have to exit out again.
Yeah.
To be continued on to point four. Now this is going to get embarrassing because there's not a chance in the world that I know how to use a Mac.
You see the little exit cross up at the top?
Yeah. All right. God bless Pastor Rory and what he has to go through every single Sunday. And this might just be part of the reason why Apple stock is selling at 400 now. So sorry if anyone likes Apple, if you guys are still around, pretty much the Clark family. Sorry. This is just ammunition. I'm quite grateful for it. Now we'll go on to point four. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. That's a promise. This is where it gets fun. So hopefully somebody out there, maybe not anyone here, but hopefully someone out there figured out that we're missing something earlier in Matthew. Yes, sometimes there's actually a method to my madness. Now I want to focus the interaction I want to focus on Jesus' perspective. So hopefully you guys are still in Matthew, because you guys haven't really used your Bible since then. You've been cheating and just using the slides. So make sure you're still in Matthew. And let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. We want to see things, you know, we want to see what Jesus had to say this time. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he, the Lord Jesus Christ, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread, on physical food alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now remember, this is the part that I would have failed at. I would have been breaking bread with Satan, whereas Jesus is actually using the word of God to combat Satan. Satan just gave Jesus a pretty tempting offer, though. Right? I mean, he hasn't eaten this entire time. And having food after 40 days, yeah, that's very, very sexy. And the very first thing that Jesus did was refute Satan using God's word. I think it's safe to say that we can actually use this as an example. It's safe to say that maybe this was written in the Bible for us, right? Satan didn't need this written. Jesus certainly didn't need this written down. Maybe the ones reading it every day of their lives, maybe this example is for us. We too, we can also fight Satan using God's word. And by doing that means really just making a different decision. Going head on with Satan, probably not a good idea. But just in case we're still not convinced that this actually works in our lives, we can move on. We can go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. Just a little way down again. Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Here, Jesus does it again. Satan keeps tempting, though. And, of course, Jesus is ready. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Now what I want to do, we got to see Satan's point of view and we got to see Jesus' side. I want to take it now and start at the beginning and just go the whole passage. Okay? So once again, it should still be pretty easy for everyone if you're still in your Bibles. I want to do Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Okay? This is when Jesus is in the desert. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. That way you guys get a good view, a good picture of the whole scenario that's happening here. But what I love about this is that Jesus gives us such a perfect example of what to do when we're being tempted. Jesus made quick, short work of this. He left no room for conversation at all. he used the Word of God and the Word of God only to refute something that he knew wasn't in his best interest. And what's so great about this story, maybe for me, maybe it's just my weird head, this is where I zoom in at. I zoom into verse 11 out of this whole story. I know there's a lot in this story, but this is where I go to. This is where I zoom in at, and this is where I want to help zoom everyone else into. In verse 11, when it says, "Then the devil left him." That's awesome. That's awesome. Satan saw that there was no success, so he just moved on to someone else. We get reassurance of this too in James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Or in other words, again, make God your focus. Stop entertaining the suck out your time proposals that Satan offers us. Satan's like a car salesman. Sorry, ahead of time. Well, now, no longer ahead of time. Sorry to anyone who happens to be a car salesman if you go to this ministry. But, I mean, bear with me. You'll see exactly what I mean. Most of us have gone out and bought a car before. We've gone to a dealership and bought one. And if you go in ill-prepared, you come out feeling like you just got taken for all you're worth. But hey, at least you got your car. Or you guys could just do what I do. I do all my research. I talk to multiple dealerships. I check out every single website available. I talk everybody down to ridiculous prices. I even go so far as I wear my best clothes when I go in there. And then I come out feeling like I just got taken for all I'm worth. So just in case you guys think that works, it doesn't. You just spend even more time. But hey, at least I get my car. That's Satan. So once again, I'm sorry, but it's true. That's exactly Satan. Satan is a car salesman. He's good. It doesn't matter what your game plan is. You're not going to win one-on-one versus Satan. It's not going to happen. He knows what he's doing. And no matter what, he's going to make a profit, and it's going to be at our expense. Now, looking back on this, I probably could have just used a casino analogy to make the point, but car salesman example is good enough. I don't want to, that's a much larger group of people to make up tight, so we're not even going to touch that. See, once again, if you laughed at that, you are sick, because I don't think everybody got that. Now you guys get to see a little bit of me. The bottom line is, no matter how smart we think we are, we're not going to outsmart Satan. The best strategy we have is to copy Jesus in the desert, is to refute Satan's temptations with the Word of God, and to move on. Just refute it and move on. Go on with your day. So what's the point of all this? Why are we learning about Satan? Well, it's because hopefully I was wishing people would be here when I talked, so that way I can see everybody, you know, leaning in like Pastor Roy always talks about, but now I don't get that effect. So that's it. That's the only reason we're learning about him. No, I'm just kidding. We're doing it because Satan does every single thing that he can to steal our serenity. And to be quite honest, I can't seem to meet content people in my life at all, at least doing what I do. People I work with and, you know, the clients that I interact with, everybody is searching for something and blaming some outside factor for their problems in life. I mean, virtually every single one of them. That's why we're learning about this today. That brings us to our fifth and our final point. When we give in to the devil, we voluntarily give up our contentment. Staying focused on God is our only hope of having any contentment in this life. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. and any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul again stresses this point in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. When I hear verses like these, I get it. I can see why the author of Psalm 46 tells us to cease striving and know that I am God. That's one of my favorite verses when I'm using the excuse, when I'm buying the lie that Satan gives me that I don't have enough time. That's one of my crutch verses that I get to fall back on. And I love it so much. Cease striving and know that I am God. It's because he knows that God takes care of everything for us. But for whatever reason, we feel the need to try everything out ourselves first. And of course, when everything we try fails, we then turn to God instead of just leaning on God's promises from the very beginning. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." When we talk to others, it's so surprising, at least to me anyways, that everyone knows all these promises that God has for them. But no one seems to believe them, right? When you're talking to them and you're saying, yeah, but God has this, God has that, God, they're like, yeah, I know God has this, but... I know God has that, but it, and I'm talking about Christians here too, by the way. At least I get it if they're unbelievers. But I'm talking to Christians, and a lot of them are Christians who go to church who are still falling for this too. And it, like I said before, it's me a lot of the times I find myself throughout the week. You know, this is the question that I often bring up to God. I ask him, I go, why is it that Christians walk around so stressed and so confused so often? So this time he went ahead and he led me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know, and sometimes he lets us see verses too, but... Now, I absolutely don't blame Pastor Rory for threatening his computer with shotgun shells. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And on a side note, this is why... I mean, ask God questions. If you have a question, ask him, because he's going to give you the answers. He led me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Well, maybe I'm just greedy, but that wasn't good enough for me. I know I just said ask God questions and he'll actually answer them, but that wasn't good enough for me. I've heard this before plenty of times. I get it. Christians walk around confused because Satan's out to get us. But there had to be more. And I'm convinced that God kind of knows what he's doing, and he led me to this verse for a reason. So I just decided to keep reading. Pretty novel idea, huh? So I kept going to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. "But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Wow. That's the lesson I think that we all miss sometimes. We're not the only ones going through the things that we're going through. But yet, we have an enemy who does anything and everything he can to stir us up and to make us unstable. He wants to make us so stressed. And one of the ways he does it, and this is beautiful too, by the way, one of the ways that Satan does this in our lives is by always giving us more questions than answers. So, I don't know how many of you guys remember Lost. It's an old TV show. But for the ones who do, This is another example of Satan. So if you like Lost, I'm sorry if I burst your bubble, but that was Satan in TV format. I liked it at first. The first 3, 4, 5 episodes, I loved it. It got me in. It got me sucked in. But every single episode actually gave you more questions than answers, which is completely fine in the first few episodes. It's fun, and you're going to watch it the next week. But by episode 20, I couldn't keep up. I mean, I literally, after that season, because, well, I had to finish. After the season, I said, forget it. Because the idea to me was, okay, the season finale is going to answer all the questions. Awesome. Give me one extra question and prime me for the next season. Nope, not Lost. They did not care about the viewer at all. Their whole job was to torture you. So I quit. I stopped watching it. That's Satan, though. I mean, that's him to a T. I got so stressed that I stopped watching the show. That's what he does to us throughout our lives again. He keeps piling on more and more and more until we get too worn out that we just quit. He tries to get us to split our attention on everything except the one thing that works, and that's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So think about that. The next time your coworker is driving you crazy, or when you get cut off while you're driving, or think about that the next time that you hear another fear-based news story. Well, every day if you watch the news. Think about that the next time that you're offered a shortcut in life. Just think about what place are you playing for? You personally, what place are you playing for? In every single situation that you find yourself, ask yourself, am I going for first place? If you are, follow God and resist Satan. Our closing song is going to be Sea of Faces by Cutlass. And I know that people love to just get up and use this to go use the restroom or get a cup of coffee or what have you. But listen to this song. Even if you've heard it before, listen to this song and think about those lyrics. Sea of Faces.
Each with them.
Welcome back. That's one of my favorite songs, actually. And I was just talking during that song when I said everyone else should be listening to it. That song is worth YouTubing. Like, see that music video. It's a beautiful production. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. God, thank you for teaching us that there are better options than what Satan offers us. Thank you for continuously building our faith in you through perseverance in your word. And I pray that those who hear these messages continue to change the station in their souls and tune into WGOD. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit and in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Well, not thanks for coming. Thanks for watching and thanks for listening.